Tonight I've got a message from you, I believe, from the Lord. I want to speak to you about discouragement and staying in the fight. And the title of my message tonight is Don't Come Down. Don't come down from the fight. I want to speak to you from the book of Nehemiah. If you have a Bible with you, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Starting from verse 1. The Father, I pray that you will be glorified. I pray that your name will be exalted, O God. I pray that your word would penetrate every heart. I pray you encourage every heart, Lord, that's in the battle and in a fight. Every man and woman, Lord, who's decided in their heart, I'm not coming down. I'm following Jesus, though none come with me, I will follow. I pray, O God, that your spirit will use this poor, weak vessel, this speck of dust that you decided to use, and that your glory would come, O God, and people would leave here saying, what a great God we serve. Hallelujah to your name, O God. I need you, Lord. I pray for your anointing. I pray for the power of the Spirit to move mightily. I ask this, Father, knowing that, Lord, that is your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, Nehemiah was a man like you and me. He was a man who had a burden for the city of Jerusalem. And I asked myself today as I walked through New York yesterday, does God love Nineveh any more than he loves New York or London or Paris, these cities? There's a cry in God's heart for every city, that every man, woman and child, everybody who's living in despair. God is wanting the whosoever's to come to him. He's longing to move powerfully in our cities. God's heart has not moved an inch from those days when he sent Jonah. He is looking for men and women to send to cities to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of our God, the love of God and the grace of God, that God is not forsaking this world or any city, that God wishes that everybody repent and come to a knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. This is still the heart of God. And Nehemiah was a man who saw a city in ruins. Truth had fallen in the street. The walls of morality had been broken down. People were defenseless. And they told him the news of Jerusalem. And when he heard the news of Jerusalem, he had a burden for the Lord. And he started to weep, fast and pray, as you know. So he went to Jerusalem. And I want to just read this scripture to you. Nehemiah 4. Now it came about when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry. Thank you. Became very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifice? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dust and the rubble and even the burnt ones? Now Tobah the Amorite was near him, and he said, even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, it will break down the wall. Nehemiah starts praying, hear, O God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their heads and give them up for plunder in the land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sins be blotted out before you. For they have demoralized the builders. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now when Sanballat, Tobah, the Arabs and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and the breaches began to close, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance to it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up guards against them day and night. And then on verse 14 of chapter 4, when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. Isn't that amazing? As soon as you move to doing the work of the Lord, all hell lets loose. As soon as you move, not the work of a man, Not just a good idea, but as soon as your hand decides a surrendered life and a burden of the Lord to get involved in the work of the Lord, all hell lets loose. And we're not fighting flesh and blood. We know that. We're fighting principalities and powers and the inventions of men and the education of men, as good as it is. And thank God for all the technology. This is not going to win this fight by just clever speeching. We need people with a burden, with a conviction, and men filled with the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah was a man, or such a man. And the voice of the enemy came in, and they tried to discourage Nehemiah and his workers. Now, discouragement can come in by all sorts of things. Sometimes it's just natural fatigueness. Other times it can be frustration. You're working and you're seeing very little, as it seems with the natural eye. It can be a sense of failure, or you've failed God, and you've just given up and you're so discouraged. Sometimes it's the voice of accusation. It's a voice that gets into your spirit. It's not just a normal voice. It can a voice through an old or a young person or a weak vessel, but somehow the voice gets into your spirit and starts to dispirit you. And you know it's just not mere flesh and blood. And you know sometimes it's self-talk. Friends, by the way, we are not meant to let ourselves talk to us. We're meant to talk to ourselves. I'm telling you, your flesh will talk to you. You're not meant to let it speak. You're meant to speak to your flesh. You're meant to speak to it and say, I don't want nothing to do with you. Don't you talk to me anymore. Tell me who I am. I know who I am. I'm talking to you. Go back to where you came. You're crucified. Get away from me. Don't you speak to me. I'm telling you, your flesh can speak to you. And God said, you're not meant to. You're meant to speak to yourself. That's why David said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Hallelujah. You're meant to speak to yourself and build yourself up in the Lord. But there's a voice of the enemy, and he comes. And the first thing the enemy does is he tries to undermine this man. Listen to the language that he uses. These feeble Jews. And if the enemy comes and calls you feeble and weak, your first thing you need to say is, you got that right. But there's a resurrection power in me. There's a power of God in me. This is not about me being weak. This is not about me being frail. This is about the life of Christ being manifested through poor, weak vessels. I am weak, but he is strong. Hallelujah. I can't do it, but he can. Hallelujah. And he's saying to them, you're weak and you're feeble. He's trying to undermine the very work of God. See, friends, he's not after us. He's after the testimony of Christ and the glory of God. But I've read the end of the book. The plan's already been written. We're involved in a fight that we're going to win. But nevertheless, the battle is real. So he undermines them. He says, look at these feeble Jews. And then he says, if a fox jumps on that wall, it will fall down. And he tries to undermine the great work of the people of God. And he tries to put discouragement in you. No, discouragement means to rob you of your confidence. It means to dispirit a man. It means to take the guts out of your fight, to disarm you. And discouragement will kill any man's enthusiasm. If you've been in a battle long enough and been criticized long enough, it starts to kill your enthusiasm. It starts to destroy the work of the Lord. It says there, Nehemiah had to preach to these people and said, listen, don't be dismayed. God is with us. It said the workers were starting to get demoralized. They were starting to get fear, and they had to encourage them. And discouragement will make a person say in their spirit, it's not worth it. You know what it's like. You've been in a meeting, you felt the glory of God. Next day you got up, and discouragement can get into your spirit. How many people have said, this is not worth it. I can't take this anymore. And they're on the hard shoulder of life. People with destiny. People who had anointing. But the fiery dart of the enemy got in and dispirited them. People who could preach and be anointed in the call of God. And the enemy was after the testimony of Christ in them. And it said, he wants to destroy your life. There's an enemy who wants to destroy you and me. And the testimony of Christ that Christ has put inside us for this very city. Discouragement will make a man lose his confidence. You remember Elijah? He was on the mountain. Man, what a meeting. That's one video I would love to see. if God ever played it. He's one man, he's standing for God. The power and the glory of God came on that mountain. The fire came down. People started turning back to God. Within 24 hours, he got a message from the devil. I'm going to kill you. And it got into his spirit. And within 48 hours, that man was under a tree. That man was under a tree after seeing the glory and the fire come down. He was under a tree and he said, "This God, kill me." He got so dispirited because that voice got into his spirit and took the very fight out of him. Now, we know that God recommissioned him, but nevertheless, it took a man who was anointed. You see, friends, when you move towards the work of God, this is not about being happy and go lucky life and everything's going to be easy. In fact, men like Elijah and Joseph had many troubles in their life. They had pain in their life. God did not shield them from even suffering and misunderstood and even imprisonments. Because you see, victory is not the absence of pain, it's in spite of it. That's what gives us our testimony. That's what makes the difference. We are not a people who have not got hope. We are not a people who are going to be in despair. And the devil has got a lie, and a lie will put you in bondage, but the truth will set you free. And he wanted to die. And then other times you get discouraged because you're just in the battle too long. You said, when is this battle going to stop? And discouragement can get in. Do you remember David in 1 Samuel 30, and when he was in Ziklag, and the enemy came in the back door and they stole his wife and his kids and his children, and even his own men wanted to stone him. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. David spoke to himself and encouraged himself in the Lord. And the enemy wants to get you down for the work of God. There is a voice that wants to dispirit you. Remember when David was fighting Goliath, there was this voice who intimidated the whole army of Israel. It was one man who was standing, but it was his voice that got into their spirit and put in fear and intimidation and undermined what God had been doing. And Nehemiah was building the wall. And as soon as he went to move towards that wall, I mean, all of a sudden, these men, they came up and they started throwing accusations up at him. Who do you think you are? You don't have the strength to do what you're doing. Are you sure God's called you to do this? They said, look at all the rubble. There's just far too much of a work to get done. You know, what is the point of even starting? Friends, I want to tell you, the devil wants to stop you before you even start. He wants to stop you before you even start. He wants to take you down before you lay the first brick. He wants to lay you down before you witness to the first life. He's after the things of God and the things of God in you. And Nehemiah is a man of faith. He said, listen, no, that's I am not going to come down. And Nehemiah encourages his workers and they just keep on building. And then you read in chapter 6 that the enemy doesn't stop. Chapter 6 and verse 2. Says this, then Sambalat, Geshem, sent a message to me saying, come and let us meet together at Cherimin on the plain of Uno. But they were planning to harm me. Listen to Nehemiah's message. So I sent a message to them saying, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave here? Isn't that amazing? Four times the enemy came to him. And four times Nehemiah gives him the same message. I'll tell you, the devil doesn't stop. You don't need to just tell him once. You need to tell him twice and three times. And he comes to Nehemiah. And now he knows that the voice is not working. So he tries to start to reason him. Why don't we have a meeting? But Nehemiah said, you're going to try and harm me. And Nehemiah said, I sent him a message four times. And this is the message he sent them. I can't come down. I'm doing a great work up here. And when the devil comes, he not only comes once or twice. Nehemiah said, I told you the first time, I'm not coming down. And I told you the second time, I'm not coming down. And I told you the third time, I'm not coming down. And I'll tell you the fifth time, I'm not coming down. And when I get up on Monday morning and there's no singing and no feeling, I'm going to tell you then, I'm not coming down. And on Tuesday, I'll tell you, I'm not coming down. And on Wednesday when I'm at work and the kids are driving me crazy and my marriage is under pressure and I feel like I want to throw in the towel, I'm going to tell you, I'm not coming down. And when I get to church next Sunday I'm going to lift my hands and thank God he gave me the power and the grace not to come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not coming down. That's the resolve in every spirit-filled man. Friends, if we came down, where would we go? We've tasted life. We've tasted forgiveness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Where would we go? There's nowhere to go. If you came down, tell me where you would go. We're not coming down. We're involved in a great work. And the devil will try and undermine it. And he'll try and tell you lies and tell you how weak you are. But I pray with all my heart, young people in this congregation today, I pray that you will say in your heart, I'm not coming down. Hallelujah. Paul the Apostle was a man who was pursued by the enemy. The man was tormented every day. Demonic influences tried to destroy his life because he was involved in a great work. I mean, three words took that man through his whole life. I am persuaded. I am persuaded, Paul says. When the going got tough and he was shipwrecked and beaten up, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things above, nor things to come, nothing can separate me from the love that's in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said, in other words, Paul said, I'm not coming down. I'm involved in a great work. God has put me on a mission, and I'm not coming down. Some people are discouraged by what they see. In Deuteronomy 1:28, I won't read it for time, but you know, the spies get sent in, and they all come back, and only two said, we can do it. We can take it. We can do what God has asked us to do. Nothing is too difficult for God. We can do this. We're small, we're weak, but because God says we can do it, we've got nothing but believe. Let's go in and take what God has promised he can give us. But eight people came back and dispirited 1.5 million people with discouragement. That's how powerful their voice can get into a man's spirit or a nation's spirit. The whole nation was discouraged because eight people came. They see, their natural eyes said, this is impossible. Their natural eyes said, the giants are too big. But I want to tell you, those who have decided not to come down, do you know, I think the modern church has become problem conscious rather than conscious of the greatness of our God. A God-conscious church will move. Nothing will stop us. A God-conscious church. We're not conscious of ourselves. We're not conscious of giants. I don't care how much trouble's outside those doors. God is able to do what he says he can do. Our God is able. Hallelujah. He can change anybody. He can touch anything. Some people are discouraged by circumstances. Others are just discouraged by life. Turn with me to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I'm not coming down. Starting from verse 22. Mark 15:22 says this. They brought him to the place, Golgotha, which is translated the place of the skull. They tried to give him mixed wine with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide that each man should take. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The inscription and the charges against him read, the King of the Jews. They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with transgressors. Those passing by hurled abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Listen to verse 30. Save yourself and come down from the cross. There's that voice again. Same voice. Different generation. Right under the cross. Right under the cross of our Lord and Savior. He's been mad more than any man. He's on the cross. They've nailed his hands and feet. They've pierced his side. They've put thorns on his head. He's been whipped. Isaiah said he was mad more than any other man. And here's a voice right under the cross. Come down. Right at the point of victory, where every prophecy that was fulfilled about Jesus going to the cross, dying in the resurrection, was about to be fulfilled. It was a moment in history when principalities and powers were going to be disarmed. You see, the devil did not want Jesus to go to the cross. You see, how do I know that? Because when Peter said, in essence, "Lord, don't go," he said, "Get behind me, Satan." That Satan has been after the seed since Genesis. Even in Exodus, he said, "Kill all the main children." And Esther, when he said, "Wipe out the Jews." And the time of the Herods, when the king said, "Kill everybody under 2 years of age. Let's destroy this seed." And I'll tell you, under the cross of Jesus Christ, this voice looks up and says to Jesus, "The audacity of the enemy." When history is about to change, principalities and powers are about to get defeated. The greatest hope for the world is about to happen. All the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. This was the day where the enemy was going to bruise his heels, but Jesus was going to cross his head. And the devil knew that. And he's got his last throw. And he said, in essence, "If you're the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." It was the devil's last throw. But I want to tell you, I believe Jesus looked at the Father and said, "No, your will be done, not mine." I believe with all my heart he heard that voice. And underneath his breath, Jesus, the Son of God, said, "I can't come down. I'm doing a great work up here." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. "I can't come down. I'm doing a great work up here." Oh, what a work. Is anybody glad he never came down? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And some of you are there. You think, "Man, I'm dying. I can't take any more. I'm absolutely dying." Friends, don't worry about dying. You're meant to die. And just when you're about to surrender your life, you're right in the will of God, and it's painful, and it's lonely, and you're suffering, and you're on fire, and you're being accused, and that voice is getting into your spirit, and you're all alone, and no teaching tape or God channels or any other things can touch your spirit, but God is bringing you to a place of absolute surrender and brokenness. I want to see, that's when the enemy comes and goes, "Wow, look what God is doing. Where is God now?" But I want you to see, "I can't feel God, I can't see him, but I know my Redeemer lives." Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer lives. I feel his love. I feel his spirit. I feel his joy. I know about his forgiveness. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says this, I believe underneath his breath, "I can't come down. I'm doing a great work up here. If I come down, the blind won't see, the lame won't dance again, the cripple won't dance, the prostitute won't feel like a woman, the alcoholic won't sober up, blind eyes won't be open, deaf ears won't be open, cancers won't shrink, people won't get healed if I come down. If I come down, there'll be no forgiveness, there'll be no day of Pentecost where an absolute avalanche and the power of the Holy Ghost was going to touch the world. If I come down." Oh, I'm so glad he never came down. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad he never came down. Has anybody in here been forgiven? Wow, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he never came down. I'll tell you, friends, I'm glad he never came down because the enemy had me bound for 10 years. I was on drugs for 10 years. I took them for fun. I took them because I thought it was cool. And 10 years later in my life, I ended up living in a Salvation Army hostel. I was so demented with drugs, I tried to take my own life. I remember sitting in front of a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist, because when you try and take your own life, they try and give you hope. And he said, "Mr. Fallon, what is your future?" And I looked at him. I was so thin. My cheekbones were sticking out my face. I just tried to take my own life. I did not look good. I lived in a flat with a mattress. I had nothing. And I said this to him, "I have no future. I have no future." And he gave me some tablets, and I went home, and I lied on a mattress. There was no washing machine, no furniture, nothing, just a mattress in this dark, dark room. I had no confidence, I had no education, I had nothing. I never even knew my own father. My whole family was dysfunctional. One day I got up and I went, somebody shared the gospel with me. I went to a church, just a little church. That morning I sat there, I had nothing to offer God. And a man stood up and he preached. And he said, Jesus came and died for sinners. And like that. I never felt sorry for myself, but I tell you, I got revelation. I'm the most selfish man on earth. I have lived for nobody but Jay Fallon. I wasn't blaming anybody. I just had a revelation of my own rottenness. I thought, God, in the middle of the service, I broke down and started weeping. I just wept and wept. I thought, God, if this is real, that, what that man's saying, I need you. I remember I broke down crying. There was no altar call. I just, in the middle of the service, it was winter. My feet were freezing. I had a T-shirt on, denims, and a pair of shoes. They had a hole in it. My sock was outside the shoe, and it didn't look good. I fell on my knees, and a man put his hand on me and says, do you want to become a Christian? I said, I do. I said, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you died on the cross, and you rose again. It was like somebody took a scrubbing brush and cleaned Jay Fallon from the inside out. I'm so glad he never came down. I'm so glad, Jesus, he never came down. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can honestly say, friend, that was 27, 28 years ago. I've never had a cigarette or a drink or a drug since then. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord. I went through a teen challenge program, and from the day I walked through the door and came out of it, I can put my hand on my heart and say, I've not came down. I have not came down. I'm not going back. And I've no intentions of changing my mind in the future either. I've drew a line in the sand. I'm so glad he never came down. If he never came down, we would have no power over our self-life. Can you imagine without God, without self-life? And I remember when I was on drugs, my flesh would pick me up every morning. And I'd need to go and steal, or I'd need to go and get a job, or I'd need to go and do something to get drugs and drink and all the rest of it. Friends, that's why you need to watch your flesh. You need to put it to death every day. I remember when I first became a Christian, you know, the struggle with the flesh, the Bible talks about it. It's the one thing that gets a lot of people down. Sometimes, even in ministry, I'd come in or just in life, and I'd say, man, you know, you're a young Christian, and you come home from work, and you're tired, and you're weary, and your flesh will, you want to go to the prayer meeting, and your flesh will say, why don't you take a night off? Chill out. Relax, man. You're fanatic. And it will start to talk to you. And then you find yourself agreeing with it. You're right. I am tired. Actually, that's a brilliant idea. But I want to tell you, you need to take yourself on. When my flesh tells me, you're tired, you're weary, you're weak, why don't you take time out? I tell my flesh, for 10 years you took me where I didn't want to go. Now I'm taking you where you don't want to go. Hallelujah. I don't want to go to the prayer meeting. You're coming with me. Not only are you going to pray, you're going to lift your hands, you're going to dance, you're going to praise God. Thank God he never came down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, friends, in the time of Haggai, when they were building the temple, they stopped at the foundation because they became discouraged. And one of the things that stop you working for God and moving for God and moving on, people start off well and finish bad. What you need to do at the time in Haggai, one of the things that destroyed and stopped the building, all of a sudden people became a self-interest. They started building their own homes rather than his. That will take you away from God. Self-interest will kill the anointing and kill the work of God. It will absolutely destroy it. And there's enough of it out there about self-interest in me, in my ministry, in me, in mine. Oh, it's putrefying to the Lord. Self-interest. I don't care about myself, do you? I don't want to think about myself. And it destroys the work of God. If you are going to stay up and not come down, there's a few things I just wrote down I want to share with you before we come to a close. If you're here tonight and you think, man, I'm halfway down the wall that I was building. I'm discouraged. That voice is in me now. In fact, there's somebody you could be sitting here right now. You think after this meeting, I'm going to drink. This battle's too much. This word is for you. This word is for the weary. Those whose minds are being demonically attacked. Those that voice has got so deep in you. You're smiling. You're lifting your hands. You love God with all your heart, but you know deep inside you say, God, I need a second touch me. I'm weak and I'm weary with the battle. I'm keep going. This is for people who love God I'm speaking to. But that voice has got under you. And you think, I can't take another day. If you're going to stay working for God and you're going to stay on that wall and you're going to keep building for your city, you know, the rubble that's out there, the rubbish that's out there, the vastness, everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes. But I'll tell you, the work we are doing is not feeble. The work we are doing is mighty. The work we are doing are changing lives for eternity. And if one of the things you're going to need to know when you're up there, one of the things I had to know, I had no problem that God forgive me, but forgiving myself. You're going to need to know you're forgiven. You haven't got time to fight with that stuff. You're going to need to know deep in your spirit, I'm forgiven. The blood has not lost its power. Jesus, hallelujah. The blood has not lost its power. I remember the enemy would come to me and he would say, there was one sin in your past. God forgives you, but that one sin. And one day I'd had enough. I just went into a room and I said, if the blood has lost its powers, I'm yours. And I'm glad to say he never turned up, but Jesus did and said, you're forgiven. I want to tell you, you're forgiven tonight. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, who you are, what you've looked at, where you've crawled into. The love of God can reach you and lift you up tonight. You're going to need to know you're forgiven. You're going to need to know you're loved. I'm amazed how many Christians, even mature, have this nagging doubt and sense, God doesn't love me. I failed him so many times. Oh, I know what it's like to fail in my attitude and my character. I was an angry man. I know what it's like to fail him, but he's faithful. If you'll be honest, with integrity of heart and say, God, I've failed you in that area, I'll tell you, he will come and strengthen you, start to mould you. He's the potter and we're the clay. And Jeremiah, when he said, go down to the potter's and see the clay, he said the clay was marred, but it was still in his hand. He who started a good work is going to finish it. Hallelujah. Two more things. You're going to have to be a continuous bending of the will every day. You go up in the morning and say, God, I bend my will to yours. Do not let me live for myself today. Do not let me even exalt myself. Don't even let me talk about the great things you've done through me. Just use my life for your glory. You're going to need to know you're chosen. And maybe Pastor Carter and Pastor Teresa have heard me say this before. When I was in Teen Challenge, I was so frail. The condemnation was unbelievable. I remember waking up one day and I got into the book of Ephesians. And I remember I seen this word that says, I have chosen you. And I'll tell you, I was weak and I was frail, but I put my old bony finger in that word and I thought, chosen. And I'll tell you, that will get you up in the morning. That word, chosen. You're going to need to know you're chosen. I said, you're chosen tonight. God does not make mistakes. You're chosen. Hallelujah. You have been chosen by God. In Times Square Church, finally, I say to you, don't come down. There's going to be testimonies in heaven. We'll be praising God that he never came down. That Jesus said, I'm not coming down. But I'll tell you, there'll be testimonies tomorrow and next year and the year after that. Who's going to say, just when you felt like giving up and the enemy said, come on down. And you said, no, I'm not coming down. And you went to work the next day. And that was the day that you shared the gospel with the same person for the 19th time. But they said, I'm coming to church on Sunday. And one day they're going to be in heaven and say, I'm so glad you never came down. I'm glad you never came down that day. Glory to God. There's a city out there. There's people sitting on the edge, just like I was, saying, this is the end, this is the night, I'm taking my life. We must polish our lamps. Let our light shine. Die to ourselves, forget about ourselves, be mature in God and saying, I'm forgiven, I'm chosen, he's called me, I'm going to forget about it, it's settled, I believe God. No more unbelief, I believe that with God, all things are possible. And friends, when people tell us, this is impossible, impossible is just an opinion. I don't care who told me it's impossible, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10, it says this. Finally, if I can put it like this, finally, Times Square Church, New York. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the full armour of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand, stand. Stand firm there, having girded your lines with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which will quench every flaming arrow of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Friends, for your sons, your daughters, and your wives, and our families, and our cities, I feel the Spirit of God so deeply ministering in people's hearts. And he's saying, will you follow the Saviour? Friends, there's days where we just feel, I feel like just throwing the towel in. But do you know what? If you just get yourself into God's presence, you find this resurrection power. It just keeps lifting you up. It just keeps giving you strength. The oil never stops flowing. By the way, Christians leak. It's time we stop leaking. Plug all access to the enemy and say, no, I'm a child of God. I am not coming down. God, I can't. You see, you might not be a Nehemiah, but you might be one of the bricklayers so far that nobody can see you. But I'll tell you, God sees you. We're not looking for all Nehemiahs to be leaders. There might be a few here, but we're looking for somebody who knows how to pick up a brick, build a wall, pick up a broken life and say, you can get restored in the name of Jesus, and just keep breaking up broken lives. Just open doors for people. Just give somebody a glass of water in the name of Jesus and you're involved in the work of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Is there anybody here tonight, you're saying, I'm not coming down. I nearly came down. Maybe you came in and said, I was on my way out. I was going for a drink tonight. You see, friends, discouragement can go to the streets of Calcutta, or it can slip under a door in Beverly Hills, by a swimming pool, by a grand piano, and tell a businessman, your life is not worth living. It's no respecter of person. But I pray with all my heart, you will remember that voice underneath the cross. Come down. But underneath his breath, he said, I can't. I'm doing a great work up here. And I want to tell you, we're involved in a great work. I encourage you, strengthen your hands for war. Strengthen your mind and your heart. Get your house in order, because the storms are coming. You've been told that. You don't need me to tell you that, but they are coming. And he's going to try and blow you off the course, off the wall, off the work of Christ. But I dare you tonight, with the audacity, with this faith, that we can move mountains. With this faith, giants will fall down. With this faith, the flesh will be kept quiet. And with this faith, and with God's strength, and with God's grace, We will run with all our might. We will run and not grow weary. We will renew our strength. Hallelujah. His mercy is new every morning. His love never comes to an end. Let's stand for a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Friends, we've got about 4 minutes left. Can somebody just start to thank him and say, God, I'm glad you never came down. Where would we be today if he came down? Where would we be today? Friends, what does it take to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? It takes a man, a voice, and a box, and the Holy Ghost. That's how much it costs. It's just, give him your life. If he used this imbecile of a man like me, I couldn't even read hardly or write, or no education, and I just said, God, whatever. And I'll tell you, it's been miraculous. We're meant to live in the supernatural. We're meant to live there. So every man, woman, child, Sunday school teacher, doorman, whoever you are, and when you go back to your work tomorrow on Monday, and that heaviness comes on, you say, no, I know, I recognize that voice. I know who you are. You're already defeated. You're already a defeated foe. No weapon formed against us would prosper. Not a weapon. Not one weapon. So just allow me to pray for you. Are you here tonight and discouraged? Are you here tonight? You're going to resolve in your heart, as part of this church or even a visitor maybe, but for New York City, when you walk by out there and you see the walls of morality broken down, truth is falling in the streets, and all the broken lives, lives that are so devastated, that you will look and believe again. No. I'm going to fight for my sons and my daughters, my wife, my household, my marriage, and for them. For the souls of men. I'm not coming down. I might be having a bad day, but I'm not coming down. I might be feeling a bit depressed, but I'm not coming down. I might be getting criticised, but I'm not coming down. I might not be feeling too good today, but I'm not coming down. My flesh might have won the battle yesterday, but tomorrow's another day. I'm going to get back up again. I'm not coming down. Father, I thank you for every man and woman. I pray, O God, by the Spirit of God, not the spirit of a man, not the spirit of a denomination, your spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, would fill every man and woman, Lord, who's feeling discouraged. Lift their hands, lift their hearts, break the chains in minds, Lord, of torment. Break it in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your glory fill our soul tonight. Let people remember they've been chosen and forgiven and loved. Lord, we want to thank you tonight that you never came down. And because you never came down, we can stand up. Lord, we stand and we say to your name, for your glory and for your honor, Lord. Nothing else but for your glory and your honor. Let New York City see every light shining and every house a burning flame of fire. Touch every broken life in here tonight, Lord. Touch every bit of discouragement and let people leave in here saying, what a great God I serve. He never came down and he's alive forevermore and he's interceding for us tonight. Bless every man, woman and child and every family. Lord, break that spirit of discouragement and oppression and depression for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, we give ourselves again to you tonight. And we say, Lord, we're not coming down. Continue to use our lives and fill us with a precious spirit. And that resurrected life would flow wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.